Okay, Mr. Green, could you two please say to the full name and ADC number for us for the record?
Cedric Devon Green, ADC number 09542.
All right, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. We have the Honorable Luis Quinones. To my right and to my left, we have the Honorable David Neal. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your lead today. Also, with us representing the Department of Correction as well as the Parole Office is Mr. Turner. Sir, you can see Mr. Turner on the screen now. Sir, prior to your hearing today, you received a signing notification form advising you of this board's hearing. You recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, it notifies you of your right to appear to speak on your own behalf under hired licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or you represented yourself?
Representing myself, sir.
Okay, sir. At this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Turner in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Okay. Mr. Green, we have your hearing today will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether your community supervision has been violated. In phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you. When I read that allegation to you, I need you to say whether the allegation is either true or false. Sir, the allegation states that you're in violation. You're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 5 by your engagement in physical assaultive behavior on or about April 5th, 2018, April 7th, 2018, and April 9th, 2018, located at 7772. North 50th Avenue in Glendale, Arizona. Sir, is that true or false?
That is not true, sir.
That's not true. Okay, based on the statement that it's not true, sir, I am going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Turner, to get some additional information, okay? Mr. Turner?
My computer here is going in and out.
Okay, so is that volume, I think, on that phone, you can cut the volume?
I'm scared to touch anything. I don't want the hangers. I don't even.
On the wall.
Oh, I see something. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear us in the bed?
Oh, yeah, now we do it.
Okay, alright, that's good. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Allegation number one. On 4/10, 2018, this officer received a telephone call from Cassandra Gray, victim's sister, and Brittany Gray, victim, sponsor, and girlfriend. Regarding the offender, according to the Gray sisters, the offender had been drunk and violent since his release from prison on 4/11/2018. This officer received a victim statement documenting the offender's violent behavior and alcohol consumption. On 4/5/2018, the victim states the offender was super drunk and grabbed the victim by the back of the neck. The victim yelled at the offender to stop touching and grabbing her. The offender continued to touch the victim without her consent. On 4/7/2018, the offender came home around 3 a.m. drunk, got on top of the offender, pinned the victim to the bed, grabbed the victim's face, and began yelling at the victim. The offender yelled at the victim, stating if the victim contacted the police department, they would not be in time to save the victim. On 4/9/18, the offender became angry because the victim bought food instead of eating what the offender made. So the offender stood behind the victim and threatened her in the presence of the victim's client. The client contacted the police but hung up because the offender stated he was looking for the victim's gun. At about 3 to 4 a.m., the offender attempted to drag the victim by her feet off the bed and stated things were going to be worse if the victim continued to play with the offender. Follow-up. Since the offender's release from prison, the offender consumed alcohol and terrorized and threatened and touched the victim inappropriately. As a result, the victim started sleeping in her daughter's room and stayed with other family members for the protection. The victim petitioned for an order of protection and was approved on 4/11/2018. The victim plans on filing a police report with the Glendale Police Department.
Okay, so Mr. Green, what's not true about that?
Well, now from the start, let me see, I gotta go from the beginning. I was going to my paperwork, I got everything. Let's give me a second, please. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on the day I was completed the Department of Corrections out there in the Sunrise programming, which is now Eagle Point, for job sources, et cetera, for helping people with a second chance that they didn't have a chance to have a job, et cetera. I completed that course, did miss a class, I went under resume, retained, applied for jobs, had jobs waiting for me, et cetera, once upon my release. The day that I was out, I went directly to the PO office, and I was told to do so, and before 3 o'clock, I got there like at 12 o'clock, I do believe, and I signed my terms and conditions, and then proceeded to go home. Once me and Brittany got home, and it was funny because I'm sitting there looking at this justice against me, and saying that they're sisters, they're actually cousins. And once we got home, her and her cousin, I had left to take the little girl, little Michaela, to her parents' house. And little Michaela is the daughter of the cousin that Brittany has adopted. I know some sort of adoption that has custody over for momentary reason. They initially come out of Michigan. I don't know the whole thing about it. It's very brief what she told me about it. But when I was there at the house where they left, she had bought me clothing, cologne, stuff, et cetera, and took me to show me around the house and where the drawers and everything would be. And I was like, well, put my stuff up, so she's going to be back. And we're supposed to do a barbecue that night for the, hello?
We're listening to you, sir.
Okay. I just heard something. I said, we're supposed to be doing a barbecue or whatnot. And on the way, once we left, I was at the house by myself. And I was on the phone to talk with family and friends. I haven't talked to them in a long time. And during the course of putting up my clothing in the top drawer, I noticed that under the top drawer, I put my underwear up and scooting them to the side, I noticed that there was a gun on the top, in the top right-hand corner. And so I was like, I'm not supposed to be around one. But then, as I went to go put my cologne on top of the chest drawer on the right-hand corner of that, I moved her perfume and stuff to the side to set my cologne, and when I was moving my cologne, one of her picture frames to put my cologne, because she bought a lot of stuff, and I was moving it, that's when I moved it about a quarter ounce of weed, and then the right substance. So when she came home, I was upset about it, because this goes back to the end of 2009, when I first met Baby Gray. She was on the streets, and she was hanging around people that were pretty much no good to using her, et cetera, et cetera. I turned around, and for some reason, one or the other, pretty much gave her a place to live, and took her in, and pretty much got her off the drugs and all, et cetera, she was doing back then. And before I caught this case in 2010, I got this 9 years, I had bonded out. I wound up telling, we're not about to go away, so, just whatever you do, stay focused, blah, blah, blah. And make something out of yourself. Don't let these dudes use you. Don't do this, don't do that.
Okay, so let me interrupt you, sir. So, okay. So were you drinking, and did you put your hands on Brittany?
This all to make a monster. I don't know if you guys got things to do. What happened was, I did drink. When we first got, I'm not gonna sit there, but I did drink. But when we was coming to us, Brittany already had stuff set up and had a bottle of a set of comfort. I drank that. When Brittany came home, we got in an argument. I was like, baby, why is a gun in the house? And she was like, oh, I'm a very sure I can have a gun. I said, no, I cannot do it without no gun.
Okay, so Mr. Green, let me stop you, because I need to go into phase two of this hearing. So, okay, so this is what I need to close out phase one and go into phase two of the hearing. And then we'll have more time to discuss it and I had to get some information from the parole officer, Mr. Turner. So based on the information contained in warrant number 2018W1054, I'm going to, and based on information from in the warrant as well as information from Mr. Green, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Green was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or a company.
Second.
Okay, motion by myself, second Mr. Quinones, agreed Mr. Neal. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, we'll make the determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out in phase two with some additional information from Mr. Turner. Go ahead, Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Mr. Green was released from ABC custody on 4/5/2018 and arrested on 4/11/2018 by ABC for a Tech 1. No charges that we're aware of. He was returned back to ABC custody on 4/11/2018 with a release date of 10/4/2019, zero absconding. Current conviction, 2010 commitment H, count 1, marijuana violation 1 year. 2010 commitment I, count 1, marijuana violation 1 year. 2010 commitment J, count 1, burglary second degree, 9 years. Prior convictions, 1992, commitment A, count 1, shock incarceration, 1 year, 15 months. 1992, commitment B, count 1, shock incarceration, 1 year, 15 minutes. 94, commitment C, count 3, theft, 4 years. 94, commitment D, count 1, burglary, 3rd degree, 4 years. 94, commitment E, count 1, theft, 5 years. 94, commitment F, count 3, forgery, 10 years. 2003, commitment G, count 1, life from law vehicle, 2 years, 3 months. This is his third term at ABC. He has a CUIR score of 2-3, mental health score of 1, substance abuse score of 2, no STG information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2002, parole release, absconded for 27 days, arrested, revoked by DOEC. 2005 TIS release, absconded 13 days, arrested, revoked by VOEC. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with possession of contraband, conspiracy, and drugs noted. Other arrests, 1989, burglary, Arizona juvenile detention. 89, theft, Arizona juvenile detention. 89, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile detention. 91, burglary. No charges were filed. 2009 marijuana violation, Arizona County Jail. Give me 1 minute. He has a GV score of G5V6. Other comments, status of charges. The senior parole officer has left messages with both the victims and the police department, and we have not got anything back as to indicate whether there has been charges filed or not.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Turner. So, Mr. Green, when you were released, to the community supervision from Arizona State Prison, Lewis Second Chance Unit, with approved placement at 7772 North 58th Avenue, Glendale, and you were arrested at that residence. What's the relationship with everybody there?
Well, that was my girlfriend and her her cousin. I haven't heard from Brittany over the years, like the last 9 months of my coming to the house, getting out, you know, saying where I was going to stay at. And I said, well, I probably have to go over to halfway house. I got family at my grandmother who left me a house and stuff too on Avondale. And corresponding with her through letters, she was like, you know, use her address. And then probably like the last month before I was trying to get it out, you know, was like trying to work out a relationship between us, you know. So that's why I paroled them in the first place, trying to see what's to try.
Okay, so why did you start drinking, sir?
I'm going to be honest with the whole board. Is when I was with the day that I got out, and it is all here.
passed away in 2015. I still haven't mourned that death. My sister, right, not too long after that, has tried to kill herself. And then I had to sit back and I just realized how much, so much has changed since I was down in 2010 to last time I was out in 2010 and doing like 7 years, almost 8 months. And I just had like a flashback on my life, you know, always in and out, always in and out. And then I think what really got me the most is when I was corresponding, talking to one of my relatives that was still a friend of my baby mother, and find out, you know, that my daughter was calling, you know, somebody else's daddy. It just took me, and I was like, man, that's like my worst thing. I lose my grandma, and then my daughter that I haven't been able to see since 2010, and the last time I remember talking to her was like 13, and it's like they just disappeared. And I always wonder where we're at, and just finally being able to get them out, and just hearing how, you know, she's a smart girl and everything else, it broke me down. And it broke me down. I was like, my worst nightmare was to go to prison, and especially losing my mother, and then my sister, and then my daughter, my flesh and blood, and not being able to be before, you know, like, you know, so it was my fault that I was down, and it was just like, it was, and I can't fault anybody other than myself, and that's what really just overlapped me and overcame me, and I just broke down, and I was feeling so much pain, and then it was one of the things too that everything just hit me so fast just because I've been gone so long, and then it was a thing to find out that this same building that we're talking about, we got these charges, this order of protection against me, and then to come to find out that she had slept with one of my relatives, and they didn't tell me nothing about it, and then that's the one of my, I'm one of those 10 siblings, and to come to find out that she messed with one of my sister's baby daddies, and I'm just like, why she didn't tell me this when I was in there? I wouldn't even came to that place, you know what I'm saying? I thought it was the truth, but the truth hit me in the face, and I feel like I was a dummy, and it just, a lot of the day just overwhelmed, and it just took me down, and I was just like, man, I was doing just so much, and I was thinking to myself, like, well, I had 2 weeks, I remember when I signed probation, conditions, I mean probation, or parole conditions, on the 17th, and I was thinking, like, you know what, I'm going to make it to the end, but in the meantime, I'm trying to find a place so I can go and say it's not working out there, because I didn't want to be, it's an age difference between me and Mrs. Gray. I'm from 43, she's 27, and the person that we once were back then are not where we are today. We're not compatible with what we once were. It came with a lot, you know, the arguing, and most of the arguing was really because of the gun that I found in the house, and I was like, I cannot sit here and be around this stuff. But the simple fact, that's why I was my parole, and she got she's licensed, I understand that. I said, what bothered me was, is when my parole officer came there, did you tell about the gun? I said, I don't see that, and I don't need to be here if it was a gun, this is for that. And it's not locked up, I see that little girl over here, that girl can easily, I said, I wish I should know that girl can easily call up into that, you know, for free, you know, that girl is smart, you call up into this dresser, and get that gun, blah, 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 you got this other stuff over here, and the weed, and the right stuff, and I really determine what it is, but, and then it just, a lot of people, it was like a party house, I couldn't find out, you know, talking with the neighbors, I'm taking out the garbage, and I started meeting the neighbors, like, yeah, it was a big party house, everybody comes over there, and drinks, and they smoke, and all this and that, and then when the neighbors told me that I got kind of halfway good with that, this middle drunk, I was not that long, and then it kind of started like 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, people are calling, and want to come over, and bring alcohol, and drink. I said, no, we can't be doing this, though. We're not going to be on this floor, I cannot do this, and so that was a lot of arguments and fights right there, and it just, a lot of stuff, I can't nobody but myself for drinking, because I just broke down, because I lost so much of my life, and here I am at age 23, and it's like I have nothing, and I'm just like, it's broke me down.
Okay, so let me see if the board has any additional questions. Mr. Turner.
I just want to note for the record that on 4/17/18, there is an OMS note that the order of protection was sent to Jan Upchurch Victim Services Coordinator, but it was never served because the offender was taken into custody beforehand. I also want to note that there is no documentation in arrest whatsoever that he ever contacted his PO and talked to him about his living conditions, about there being a weapon, or there being drugs, or there being alcohol while he was out.
Okay. Does the board have any additional questions?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner, the board, we're coming up on a, I mean, Mr. Green, we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing.
Can I respond to that real quick, please, what you said?
Hold on, I will let you respond. We're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing, sir, so I want to give you the opportunity to say anything you want to say to the board without repeating yourself. Go ahead.
Okay, what you said, you're right. I would just fill me out, and it was hard. I was stuck in a puzzle, and it was hard for me to sit there and turn somebody in that, you know, I truly love. You know what I mean? I have so much respect and stuff for this girl, because when I first met her, like I said before, she changed her life around. You know what I mean? And I didn't know this was going to come up to be me a result getting parole violation and my business and that, because we've always been so close, you know what I'm saying? And I just know that, did you guys, I don't know, look at, do you guys receive any letters?
No.
Because my people said, my phone hasn't been on, and I've been trying to get it, and the counselor, I mean, you know, 403 actually gave me a call, and I had talked with my people, and said they sent letters into the parole board, and then dear friend was going to try to be down there, but she couldn't be there because her car broke down and whatnot. And so I didn't know if she was going to make it or not. But I could just say as far as everything, and not to repeat myself, is that, you know, when I went to the program down there, I never ever experienced nothing like that. That place really motivated me into what I still have. You know, like I said, I finished the program successfully. A lot of people believed in me, et cetera, et cetera. I have vouchers. I have places that, you know, actually I was having a, an interview set up for the 16th, and to go for an interview, and my plan was, when I first got out, was just to, you know, take the week slow and get into the environment, try to adapt to the new society, try to adapt to the new forms and everything else, because I was having a hard time communicating with people, trying to work the new forms, and I was supposed to go back the following Monday, because I went up on Wednesday, that following Monday, to an interview that I have, and I received several other cards or whatnot from people that were coming down from the job location that were actually giving us benefits, because, you know, being that, you know, I'm really pretty much on the streets, and that's why a lot of stuff, my decisions when I was younger, let me in and out of trouble. Being in there and going up through the group, the program that the government provided for us, one of my counselors asked me that I want to go to, and I was like, well, he told me as a job, because I said, man, they don't want me there. I said, man, they really had a job like this, you know, they'll teach you how to do this, they'll teach you how to do that. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go down there. So, and being that it was immigrated, and I was like, I don't care about that. I said, I'm a people person. So once I got there, you know, it's intolerant peoples and seeing what I could do. I was on computer job search and everything. I said, you know, I never could once thought I could go to sit here and do a resume and fill out 10 different resumes of Central Central.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Okay, the board's getting ready to go into a discussion. So while the board's in discussion, you're kind of repeating yourself. But while the board's in discussion, okay, we're making a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. I'm going to ask you to stay on the line, have a remain silent while the board's in discussion. The board's now in.
I would like to say, I don't, you know, I mean, on the decisions in your hands, you know, going through this experience, what happened with Brittany, you know, I'm not having no contact. I've been contacted that I did receive an order of protection once through the PO, not PO, my CO3. I sent to, I guess, the parole office, and then like 2 weeks later, somebody from the courts and killed his soldiers, pretty much the same thing, but telling me to go off of this limit, the one that the DOA, whatever, I said to him that wasn't the real copy, that he was a certified person. I said, well, I already did it. I said, I have no plan to go around, no plan to contact him. I said, I have a little kid out there, I have a daughter that missed me. I have so much that I want to do, and you know, it's a lot of stuff with my grandmother's death, and the house here, it's just a lot of stuff, and I know I need, you know, with that give me a chance to make some out of it, because people don't believe me, man, for no reason. I believe in myself. I have an older life, and I realize, you know what I'm saying, that I cannot, you know, me and Brittany, it's not compatible, so it's a big age difference, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, but, that's pretty much what I have to say. It's just, you know, I have no problem with it. You know, this is a mistake on my part, and I would never see her again, because I, you know, I don't worry about my kid, but myself about her and all this. So she's not going to have no problem with me having contact. I won't contact her. And for all this stuff that I mean, I got over the house, I mean, she can keep that stuff. I don't care about it. I can always start over.
All right. So the board then to discuss about the board then discussing will make a determination whether to revoke the reinstate on the community supervision. Please stay on the line. I will remain silent. The board's now into discussion. Based on the information that we have in here, Mr. Green did get out and did start drinking. According to the information we have, he did become assaultive and abusive during that period of time. There is a order of protection that's listed in here in the warrant. Based on the information that is contained in this warrant and listened to Mr. Green, I do not think that Mr. Green would be a good candidate to be reinstated on community supervision. Therefore, I am not supportive of reinstating Mr. Green on community supervision. I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues.
I agree.
Okay, therefore, I move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Green, find that he was delinquent, and he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision. I had laughed and about to laugh in the criminal ways of company, as he did laugh and start using drugs and was acting in an assaultive behavior. That'd be my motion.
Second.
Motion by myself, second by
agreed.
Mr. Neal, agreed by Mr. Cunyong. Sir, that's Mr. Green. Mr. Green,
yes.
Sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on November 4th, 2019. October 4th, 2019, you'll be released. At that time, you won't be on any community supervision and you won't have to report to your parole officer. So thank you for participating in the hearing today. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Please, sir, please put yourself through.
Yes, sir, anyway. All right. All in the future.